This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'aghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه واله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find that the human being has been created with that which is known as shu'ur, with feelings. There are various feelings which have been placed inside the human body. At times we find immense sadness, at times we find immense happiness. And some of these feelings are beyond our control. That certain things could begin to take place upon the individual and they cannot control themselves. That does not mean that they lose total focus upon the things that they have to do or they have to carry out. Because many average individuals, in their immense happiness, do many silly things. And many individuals, in their immense anger, their rage or being upset, also do silly things. We find from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was given that ability, that whether in a state of immense happiness or sadness, nothing came out of his blessed mouth except for revelation. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Everything he utters is nothing but divine revelation. So thus we find that when the companions pose that question, that should we write everything that comes out, disseminates from your blessed mouth, whether you're angry, etc. He said, yes. Everything that comes out of my mouth is nothing but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, whatever comes out from our mouths is far, far away. But if a person begins to follow that methodology in trying to control themselves and to develop those fine characteristics, maybe glimpses of that may be developed within the individual. And the reason why I mention this inside the introduction is because the title itself is something ambiguous, it's not something very clear. Can we instill love within our children? Is it possible to purchase or buy love and to place it into the heart of the individual? That is a key question that we need to begin our lives with. There are certain things that we can control and certain things that we cannot control. So the answer is partially true, that at times we can instill love and at times we don't have that ability to instill the love within the individual. And we find that love is of various forms. That you find ulama talk about the concept of the heart of the human being has various elements of love. Those various forms of love, they don't contradict one another. Qadi Iyad, Fudayl ibn Iyad mentions that you find hub lil khaliq, love for the Creator, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an immense form of love. Likewise, you find after that love towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a different form of love. Love towards one's parents, towards one's family members, towards one's children, etc., one's wife. It's all different elements of love. The heart is able to contain and to develop upon that. So the initial stage we need to understand about love towards our children and the people around us that at times it could be an element whereby that love, there is no response of that love. For example, the Quran mentions about those individuals, in on an average basis, you find that many, unfortunately, non-Muslims, there's a difficult element inside their life. The Quran mentions, فَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ. Don't let their wealth and their children startle you. Don't let that amaze you, the amount of children and the wealth that they possess upon this dunya. Because the wealth and the children for them, as the Quran mentions, a general characteristic, doesn't mean that some of them will not rejoice with their children and the wealth, but the general perception is that these things have been given to them. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَدِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them these things of the dunya, لِيُعَدِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that the wealth and the children become a punishment, a chastisement for them in this world. وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ, we take out their souls, وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ, they're in a state of disbelief. This is something for an individual to ponder upon, that children and wealth, as the Quran mentions, can become for the individual, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, your children and your wealth become a fitna for you. So for many of the average individual, we find their wealth and their children has become a trial or a tribulation for those individuals. And just before the ayah, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Oh, you believe, indeed, your wealth and your children, your spouses, your family members, are enemies towards you. فَحْذَرُوهُمْ, stay away from them. Now here we understand from this ayah inside the Quran, إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ, مِنْ, from, بِمَعْنَا, in the Arabic language, تَبْعِدِيَّ, بَعْض, doesn't mean all of your children, doesn't mean all of your family members, all of your wealth. Some may translate it min, from, no, ba'd, some. At times, your wealth and your children could become an element of a trial or tribulation upon the believer. If we go back to the previous verse, in verse number 15, the answer is given. What is the Muslim parent's role? What is the Muslim's role upon this earth? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. That's the key element. And we begin to understand that this ayah in the Quran has also become a principle in usul al-fiqh, that the person carries out the actions which they have the ability to do so and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as they can. Unfortunately, for some of us, that love becomes a spoiled love. The love that we have towards our children, it may begin to taint our perception of what we want to gain from them. Once again, the Quran touches upon this as well. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Oh, you believe, don't let your wealth and your children become a distraction for you, distract you away from the dhikr of Allah. Indeed, those individuals who let their wealth and their children distract them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, those are the losing individuals. So Muslim is wary that our wealth and our children don't take us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know, once again, that emotional feeling of love, that some parents will try to give everything to their children, even if it means to open up to the world of muharramat, of haram things. As many parents we discuss with them, they say, living inside this environment, there's no harm in giving them access to certain things, or giving them the ability, the rationale to choose and to make a choice what's halal, what's haram. So if they indulge in doing something haram, then they will discover themselves what is the right thing to do. This is a dangerous perception, because a child doesn't have the ability like an adult or a person who's got tajriba, experience of their life. So this is a weak element for a parent to think, I allow my child to have something which may be impermissible or haram, or let them experiment and eventually find that which is the right thing to do. So we as Muslim parents should be vigilant about trying to open up the doors of letting our children to experiment with certain things, and then they themselves discover that which is right or that which is wrong. Likewise, we find that this distraction, as the Quran mentions, 8 categories of individuals we mentioned in Surah Tawbah, that if we begin to love them to such a degree, and they begin to distract us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. قُلْ إِن كَانَ أَبَاءُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاءُكُمْ. Say, indeed, if your parents and your children and your family members, your wealth, your dwellings, your property, all of this, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Wait, and if you feel that these categories, these 8 categories, are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving and struggling inside His path, then wait until the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the rebellious individuals. So this is a warning for the Muslim, that our emotional feeling is on a balance of understanding that the context of what we follow inside our life is following the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslim parent begins to understand, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot guide any whom you love. Indeed, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the one that guides. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's not upon you to guide. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wants. So we should be wary, because many of our parents, when we work with them, they think that every time we teach them that they should become the pious individuals, the rightly guided individuals, or excelling to such a degree that we find. It may be, unfortunately, not possibly true that every single child will respond in a responsive manner. And that's the Quran once again documents upon this. You find the whole story, the theme of Nuh alayhi salam, whereby the Quran documents the story of Nuh alayhi salam, whereby his son does not believe. وَنَادَى نُوحُ رَبَّهُ فَقَالَ رَبِّي إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ. Indeed, Nuh alayhi salam, he called out to his Lord, O my Lord, indeed, my son is from my lineage. He's from my genealogy. And indeed, your promise is true that you should rescue him alongside with myself. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكُمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Indeed, you are the best of judges. What was the response given? That's documented inside the Quran. قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. A new terminology is given inside the Quran. The word normal meaning of ahl is your blood relationship. People are related to you. But the Quran says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. This son of yours is no longer your family member. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. His actions are null and void. Impious actions. No longer call him your son. So this is a prophet of Allah, Nuh alayhi salam, as we find who is the first messenger. His son refuses to listen to him, to believe. And likewise, even the opposite is mentioned. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the believing son, and his father is what? Is a disbeliever. The lessons that we learn from this, that guidance is not in the hand or the control of the human being. If this happened to the Anbiya, then what will happen to the average individual? But we can take extracts from this to begin to strengthen and to work towards encouraging or nourishing or trying to teach our parents and the children around us. Likewise, you find Luqman, the 31st chapter of Quran, the most of this surah is all talking about tarbiyah. If you want to go back and learn tarbiyatul awlad fil Islam, how to bring up your children, nurture your children, how to deal with them, you find it documented inside Surah Luqman. Likewise, Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter of Quran, these 18 ayat inside Surah Al-Hujurat, because many people, they always want to know, how do you develop an Islamic society? What policies or what do you need to do? Ulama have mentioned these 18 ayat inside Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter of Quran. If we can implement and live by these 18 ayat, we will once again create the Islamic identity and the Islamic environment once again. So Luqman, speaking to his son, Ya Bunayya, speaking, admonishing his son, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Luqman, speaking to his son, giving him admonition, giving him advice. Oh my son, don't commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read through the rest of the ayat, you find some excellent piece of advice which he's giving to his son. But we can begin to extract what we need to begin to teach our children inside their life. The ayat that he begins to mention was mentioned in the Quran, Ya Bunayya, Aqimis Salah. O my son, begin to establish the prayer. So after belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first lesson that needs to be instilled within the child is the establishment of the prayer. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Order the good and forbid the evil. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Have patience upon whatever calamities befall or come upon you. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Indeed, that is from the lofty devotion, a lofty commitment of the individual. Whoever establishes their prayer, believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, orders the good and forbids the evil, has patience upon the difficulties that come or befall upon the individual. Then comes the characteristics. Because some of our children, they may learn these characteristics, but when it comes to the finer characteristics of behavior, of adab that we find, we haven't taught them these characteristics. Luqman, he teaches his son, he mentions him, وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَلِ النَّاسِ. Don't stretch out your neck. Sa'ir, that you find ulama mentioned, logha, is a disease in the neck of the camel. Don't be stubborn, don't be arrogant towards the people around you. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk upon the earth in a state of pride, in a state of arrogance. So here you find, but teaching his son, don't be arrogant towards the people around you. Don't think you're something special above them. And likewise, don't walk upon the earth in a state of arrogance and pride. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like any rebellious, boastful individual. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِيكَ. When you walk upon the earth, walk in a state of tranquility and peace and contentment. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. And be humble, lower your voice in your speech. You speak to one another, lower your voice. Because indeed we find in the أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. Indeed, the most wretched of voices is the braying of the ass, the sound of the donkey. These are all adab that the Quran is teaching us, how we teach our children how to conduct, how to behave, how to walk, how to talk, which at times some of us Muslim parents or Muslim teachers, we don't seem to instill these practical teachings within our children, unfortunately. Likewise, we find that natural love is there that the child or the parent has towards the child. Every single Muslim, as we know, the Quran mentions the opposite to the non-Muslim that we mentioned, that their children become a form or a source of punishment or torture for them upon this earth. As for the believers, al-malu wal-banun zinatul hayati dunya. Wealth and children are the beautiful things of this dunya. That's what most individuals, they aspire to have, the wealth and the children. So obviously this is something which is halal, if the person uses it in the correct manner. The Quran mentions this great blessing. وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. We've bestowed upon you the blessings of wealth and baneen and children. Indeed, we have made you numerous in manpower and number. Till eventually the children, they become, as the Quran mentions, the supplication of Ibadur Rahman. The supplication of servants of Ar-Rahman mentioned towards the end of Surah Al-Furqan, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walk upon the earth in a state of tranquility, in a state of peace. Till eventually the dua is mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. The pious individuals, their supplication is, make from amongst our spouses and our children the coolness, the tenderness of our eyes, and make us to become amongst those individuals, the pious individuals, leaders for the people around us. So thus it becomes incumbent upon us, because sometimes we're focusing upon so many different things, and sometimes it's easy to focus upon the world around us and to lose focus upon the people who should be close to us. The Quran mentions at Surah Al-Tahrim, the 66th chapter of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Oh, you believe, save yourselves and your family members from the hellfire. Not to say that we shouldn't be worried about anything else, but the real cause for a Muslim is worrying about oneself and their family members. Some of us Muslims, we lose focus upon that we think it is not very, very important to save oneself and one's family members. There are other tasks that we need to carry out inside our life. And this could be, may Allah forbid, a deception, yani, of the devil. Talbis Iblis, deception devil, it becomes easy for a person to focus upon other things and not focus upon those direct subjects which happen to be underneath them. Likewise, you find that Islam encourages the concept of rahma, of mercy, of compassion. Man la yarham la yurham. Whoever doesn't show mercy will not be given any mercy. So this is the characteristic of the parents. That parent understands the relationship towards the child, one way of insaf is to show compassion, mercy and concern. Because we know in general how our culture creates a big divide between the father and the son. There's hardly any relationship, there's hardly any love. Many of us, we grow up feeling hatred, animosity, a lack of conviction or relationship with our parents, because we've just drifted away. It always seems to be just commandments which are given to the child or given, you need to the son, etc. So we find that mercy, compassion, in everything in our life we try to go back to the sunnah, but how about in these practical steps which have been mentioned in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereby we find in a famous hadith in Bukhari that one day he kissed Al-Hasan. So and in the companion by the name of Al-Aqra, he said, indeed I have 10 children. I have 10 children and I've never kissed them in my life. So how did the Prophet Muhammad respond to this individual? Indeed mercy has been snatched away from your heart. There's no element of mercy and compassion inside your heart if you cannot show any love and emotion and devotion towards your own children. Likewise, you find famous hadith in Bukhari again of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, whereby she visualizes a mother with her two children. She has 3 dates. She gives 1 date each to each child and she's left with 1 date. Before she can begin to eat her own date, the children have finished their date. So what does she do? She breaks her own date in half and gives a half to each of the two children again. That's mercy, that's compassion, that's love, that's feeling that we as parents need to develop once again towards any our children via the practical implementation of the sunnah and the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are certain elements that we need to begin to train or work with our children to begin to develop, to create that love, to create that commitment. Obviously some of them we're quite clear about what we need to do inside our lives. Amongst the commitments we find is Rabtul I'tiqadi, is the link of belief. That we find Mas'uliyatu Tarbiyah Al-Imaniyah, to nurture our children upon the right iman. To this day, many of us have come to the Western world, living in the 21st century. Unfortunately, many of our parents or some members of our society still have cultural beliefs, superstitious beliefs, myths, fables, folklores, tales, etc. exist on a wide scale inside our community. If you want to change the vision of the future, as they say, then you need to go back to the grassroots and begin by instilling the right orthodox beliefs within our children. How many of our parents grew up inside this community and we compromised? Some of us very rarely expressed our faith or expressed our concerns. We need to teach our children the right creed, the right belief, the love of iman. Teach that within them, that there is, if you want to be somebody special, you need to hold fast to this creed and to this belief. With this comes along Arabtul Ruhi, the spiritual needs of creating an atmosphere for our children. How many of us grew up whereby you find that there was no access to a masjid? There was, you were not allowed to even possibly breathe appropriately inside the masjid. That if you did cough or you did laugh, then, excuse the expression, all hell would break out loose. And then we try to instill within them, have devotion, have ibadah, have worship. So sometimes we need to go back to the drawing board and reassess ourselves. That what are we actually creating? After 30, 40 years, we can see. And it may sound very strange. There are some children inside our society who don't ever want to step foot back into a masjid. Think about that. That's something very serious for us to think about. Children that have been taught previously, when they grow up, never ever want to return back to the masjid. I've taught adults basic how to read the Quran, who said that they, once they learned the Quran, they couldn't be bothered to read the Quran ever again in their life. That literally some of them may even been tortured in the masjid. And that made them never ever back to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever again, and ever pick up the Quran. To whom does that blame return? Or maybe some of us parents, that we've beaten our children black and blue in reading the Quran or doing certain actions. And the long-term detrimental effect is psychologically disturb these individuals. Who will pick up those pieces for that? So we have to begin to go back and work on ways of developing ibadah, relationship with the Quran, relationship with dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with nawafil, create with them and help them to instill the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over them, vigilant over them. How are all these elements going to take place? This deserves a long analysis and study of our lives and what we're doing inside this society to go back and to offer positive steps of changing the environment around us. The third thing, Rabb, that we find, Rabbul Fikri, is the link of our thought, our perception, that many of the average Muslim just sees Islam as a cultural practice, cultural way of life. We have to instill within our children the thought, the perception that Islam was for the past, the present, and the future. Read through our history of who we were, what we became, and what we are today. That's all part of creating the personality of the individual. So many of our young individuals, they just know certain elements of us being Muslims. As for the global impact of Islam, or the message of Islam that we find, many of them are aloof, far away from that. Nobody ever teaches them the real history, the background, the contribution of Muslims upon the society and the wider world around us. So they all just think, it's just textbook. There's no real Islam. There's no empire of Islam. There never was. Maybe some of us are not skilled enough to teach them about the history of Islam and the impact of Islam what existed before. The fourth Rabb, the fourth link that we need to develop in our lives is Rabbul Ijtima'i, the social link inside our society. Some of our students, some of our children are not able to engage inside society. Some of them even graduated from Islamic institutes. When they come out into society, cannot even construct a single appropriate sentence in the English language. Something to think about. We're living inside this environment. We're not able to engage inside the society. The years of study, the years of practice, what is the benefit? Or we begin to ridicule one another, not able to tolerate one another, not able to speak with one another, not able to live with one another. The Quran teaches us, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Indeed, believers towards one another are brethren. So the concept of living as a social creature, which is an element of the human being, to be able to engage with one another. Likewise, when the Quran tells us, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most noble of you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are whom? The pious individuals. That's where nobility and rank belongs. So this social element at times is also missing amongst many of us parents and many of the children in it as well. Fourthly, we find Arabtu Riyadi is the link of physical fitness. We have to bring all these elements together to create the ideal, even though there's no ideal, but linguistically the ideal identity of keeping our children physically fit. Some of us, we think it's haram to run, to jog, to swim, or to be engaged in some form of combat, sport, or whatever it may be. That's what some Muslims, they think. They think it's just, it's haram. How is it haram if you go back to the prophetic traditions? To swim, to run, to race, to wrestle, to learn how to throw an arrow, to throw a spear, etc., to ride a horse. These are all prophetic traditions which hardly exist inside our society. Even though it's been prophesied in the hadith of Bukhari, from amongst the minors on the Day of Judgment, will be what? Obesity. Obesity will become rampant in the world, in the Muslim Ummah. And some of our children are heading in that direction. There's no element of physical fitness. The completion of a human being is completion of all these five elements. Your faith, your creed, your character, your behavior, your spirituality, and your ability to keep yourself in a wholesome physical any fitness. The Quran mentions, وَعِدُّ لَهُ اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare for them all elements of warfare. What does that mean? All elements. قُوَّة. قُوَّة doesn't just mean certain elements that we think. It means socially. It means financially. It means mentally. It means physically. It means spiritually. It means everything. The human being is strengthening themselves. So we have to create those avenues. If not, what happens to many of our children? One way that you find they begin to go away is these physical activities. that they begin to look up to those individuals as their role models, as people who may be any cool individuals or good individuals. They can relate to them because we are not creating that avenue or that feeling inside the masjid or the community. We have many masajid. We need to go to a different dimension. That the masjid needs to be a social element whereby people can come and contain their faith and to enjoy themselves in a good halal manner without turning to the alternatives, the haram alternatives that we find around us. Likewise, we find it is a combination and implementation, all these elements that will bring the individual to become the complete Islamic unique personality inside this society, which unfortunately many of us Muslims are not carrying out inside our lives, even though we have many facilities that alhamdulillah Allah has blessed us with, especially living inside the West. Also, we find many of us, we want to leave the task to other individuals. An average parent always, in general, wants to pay someone else to become their tutor, to become their teacher, to become their friend, to become whatever it may be. Yes, there's certain things you may need to pay. But as we began with, money can't buy love. Money can't buy relationship. Money can't buy understanding. Money can't buy affection. So these are things that many of our parents or the parents around us are missing. They think it's just quite simply just do this and this will resolve the problem. Love has to be shown. Love has to be gained. Love cannot be something which is purchased. So we need to change our approach. As the Quran mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will never change the condition of a people until they don't change their own condition. So just like we change everything about our lives, when we came to this community, some of us may have had corrupt aqa'id, corrupt beliefs, corrupt practices, corrupt lifestyle, whatever, we change it. Just like we change in everything in those things, we need to change in our approach towards our children and the people around us. Not everything in the Western world is haram or forbidden or something we should be looked down upon. Al-hikmah, dalatul mu'min. Wisdom is the lost property of the believer. Even though this is not a hadith, many ulama rejected it as being a hadith. It's only a good statement or going back to possibly to one of the companions. So wisdom is the lost property of the believer. And whenever the believer finds it, has the most right to take that property back. That's what a Muslim is. The Muslim is always searching of avenues of wisdom, of gaining and collecting that wisdom and taking it back into their own life. Likewise, you find the use of language. If you read through some of the books of non-Muslims, of pedagogy, of raising children, of nurturing, of family, of environment, you find some strange things inside there. Our life just becomes, we don't use imagination or humor or patience and playfulness. These are all prophetic actions. We find our life becomes commanding, al-amr, al-zajr, warning, al-nahi, any prohibition, telling off. That's how we interact with our children at times. You just tell them off. Rather than telling them, there's other ways of saying, of trying to change the atmosphere, changing the avenue, changing their thought, to distract them. How many times have we as parents ever sat down and spoken to our children, had a one-to-one discussion, what they like, what they dislike, maybe something's on their mind, emotional feelings that we find a child is growing up, going through adolescence, going through puberty. What do many parents do? Just badani shaitan, or the under agya, do you understand? Devils come inside them, look at the way they're behaving, that's it. That's our thought, isn't it? Don't seem to understand there's pressures that the person is going through in their life, the peer pressure of the whole community around them, their friends around them, their bodily change. So they will go and speak to whom? Speak to a non-Muslim, speak to someone else, confine in them, discuss with them. No, they should be coming whom directly? To the mother, coming to the father. Doesn't mean that there's be a total free relationship that they're able to discuss whatever or whatever it may be, but there's an element of trust that's been built that the child feels safe to return back to the father and the mother to be able to speak with them. Likewise, you find some of our parents, unfortunately, we are contradictory in our words and our practice. We're very vigilant of trying to send them to an Islamic environment, to Islamic school and whatever it may be. But sometimes in our own home, in our own words and our own practice, we don't live up to that. And children are very smart, are very quick to see discrepancies. And some of them will even say bluntly, you tell us to do this, you don't do it yourself. You tell me to read the Quran, I never see you read the Quran in your life. You tell me to do qiyam or read extra prayers, I don't see you doing it. I don't see you making dhikr. You tell me not to lie, but on the phone you're lying all day long. You told me not to swear, you're swearing yourself. You told me not to cheat, you're cheating in your business. So this contradictory behavior, and it sounds strange, but it is true. This has a big impact upon our children because they are thinking that my father or my mother tells me something, but they don't do it in their own life. So it's not something so important at the end of the day. Likewise, we find that many of our children, unfortunately, have become orphans. What does that mean, they become orphans? Are our children orphans? No, they're not. Materialistically, our children are well off than what many of us were when we were growing up. Today you find children are not even born and their parents are buying them the latest Nike TN, 135, 140 pounds. Buying them before they're even born and storing them away. And all the children, most of you ask the children, all of them, I'm sure they've got all the Nintendo DS, Lite and 3D and PS this and Vita and everything. We will give it to them. But our children are still what? They're orphans. Why are they orphans? As the Arab poet, he mentioned lines of poetry, لَيْسَ الْجَمَالُ بِأَثْوَابٍ تُزَيِّنُنَا. Jamal, beauty, isn't the fine clothing that we wear, that we think this is beauty, this is luxury. بَلِ الْجَمَالُ جَمَالُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. Real beauty is the beauty of knowledge and etiquettes and behavior. لَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّذِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ. The yatim isn't the one whose father has passed away. That's not an orphan individual that their father is no longer living. بَلِ الْيَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. The yatim child, the orphan child, is the one who has no adab and has no ilm. That's what you call an orphan in the world of upbringing of children. Has no one to nurture and to teach them. And many of our children, unfortunately, have become orphans in that respect, in terms of their knowledge and in terms of their etiquette and their behavior. The Quran tells us, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Warn whom? The close family members towards you. That is the role that we need to begin to instill within ourselves. That will create the Islamic society once again. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٍ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. All of you are a shepherd. All of us. It comes a stage in our life of Allah destined that we get married, we have children. We come to that level whereby we become responsible. Who are we responsible for? Each one of us is responsible for our flock, the flock which is underneath us. And each one of us will be asked about that. That's what we need to go back and program once again within our parents. We want to create that love within our children is show the element of responsibility. Don't show what our parents, and they had a justified excuse. They had a difficult life. They came here with hardly any money, with difficulties. So they had to work possibly many shifts, many hours, many days. But many of us are living a good life. But yet still we're being negligent towards our children in showing love and devotion you need towards them. And this struggle is a struggle a person needs to persevere, not lose hope and focus. Just like in the dunya, we don't lose hope and focus, we persevere with the challenges, we continue what we're doing. Likewise, in these challenges, instilling this love and this relationship towards our children, a person needs to persevere. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let the iman of an individual go to waste. So if you have that feeling in your heart, in your mind, your children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let that go to waste. Yes, there may be, as we began with, some children who may begin to go astray, etc. But we find a parable that is given inside the Quran, that a good land will give out a good plantation, will give out good fruit, good vegetation. A corrupt land, a corrupt soil, will only give out that which is rotten, that which is the weeds that we find around us. So we need to go back in instilling the appropriate land, sincere effort and struggle. There's various types of jihad that we find. One of the most ultimate levels of jihad living inside this country is what? Is bringing up our children. It's not a week struggle or a month struggle. It is a daily struggle. Every single day, a good parent is struggling throughout the day, throughout the night, in trying to be vigilant, in trying to give their children the right nourishment, the right treatment, the right environment inside their lives. And thus we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let that effort or that struggle go to waste. As that ayah inside the Quran that we find, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Our Lord, make amongst our children and our spouses that which will be the coolness of our eyes. Ulama al-Tafasir mentioned the coolness of the eyes doesn't necessarily mean inside the Akhirah. in the hereafter. It also means inside this dunya. You see your children upon righteousness, upon good actions, of good etiquette, good behavior. That makes the parent feel, rejoices them. It makes them happy, makes them content. Unfortunately, some of our parents, they only want to see what? They want to see the success of the dunya of the children. That's how some of us have been programmed, that we boast about their degrees, we boast about their careers, we boast about their money. I'm not saying we shouldn't boast about that, but we've taken it to such a precedence, that's all that we care about. All our discussion becomes that my son has a degree, my daughter has a degree, he's this, he's that, she's this, she's that. But what about their character? What about their behavior? What about their iman? What about their spirituality? Does it exist? On average, Allah knows best, it doesn't exist inside our community. Thus we have to go back and reprogram ourselves. We want the good in this dunya is via our children. We want the good inside the akhirah is via our children as well. Thus you find the son of Adam, if he dies, everything comes to a standstill except for three. Amongst those three things that will benefit every single one of us will be a righteous son, or a righteous daughter, a righteous child that prays for one's parents. That's the real success. That imagine each one of us, we leave this dunya. All of us are going to leave. And who will pray for us? Who will give that benefit to us when we've left this dunya? Will be the righteous children. So we exert our efforts to take the love and the feelings that we have for our children, to begin to project that love in positive steps, in trying to help them to change and to nourish them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove or change those negative elements that we have inside our society to make it to become something positive and wholesome. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to become good teachers, good practitioners, good parents, towards our own children, that we become the role model for them. And our role modeling is only based upon whom? The best teacher, none other being the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, for us to emulate and to copy him and to learn from his life and to extract those fawaid will be the best task for us to develop inside our life, to have success inside this dunya and even more so inside the akhirah. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بارك الله فيكم.